Okay, ladies, it's time for us to get real with each other. Have you ever said, I feel like I have been dieting forever and I just can't do it anymore? Do you feel like it's time for you to reboot, refresh, and retool your mindset so you can really focus in on the habits and skills that are going to give you that long-term sustainable results that you've been longing for like ever? Well, here's the thing, right? We all know how to reboot our computers. You press Control, Alt, Delete, and boom, the problem goes away. But how do you reboot your metabolism, your mindset, and your habits when you've been dieting since the early 90s? How do you shift your mindset so that you can really focus on your habits and the skills that are going to give you that long-term sustainability? Here's the thing. Women of every age have struggled with this issue. And it's not just you. And it's not just getting in shape after 40. I mean, that would be really nice. It is about managing your weight for the rest of your life with ease. And yes, it can be effortless. I don't know who needs to hear this, but how you get your goal is how you keep your goal. So if you can't drink another green juice, you can't take an extra body pump class, this is what I want you to do. In this podcast, I want you to click on the link for the Reboot and Refocus. It's a success series that I will be running later this fall, and I want to make sure you get the first dibs. So just hop on that wait list, and when you do that, when I open the doors, you'll be the first person to get in for this new free training that I will be hosting later this fall.
Welcome to the Fit Girl Magic Podcast. If you are ready to find your inner magic, develop great habits, and a rock-steady mindset to feel confident, comfortable, and fit in your body, you are in the right place. I am Kim Barnes Jefferson, and I'll be giving you weekly doses of health, fitness, and life tips sprinkled with humor and real talk. If you're ready to be consistent without the stress of perfection, magic makers, it's time to slip into your favorite pair of PJs, grab some coffee, kick back, and listen to today's show.
All right, ladies, today I am bringing you yet another client story. Today I had the opportunity to speak with Miss Nikki Bongiovanni Grillo. And we talked all about her experience with me as a coach. And she is someone who came out of the competitive gymnast space. And, you know, I've had a conversation with another woman talking about, like, when you go from being a competitive athlete most of your life, you're like, I don't know what to do with myself. And so we talked about what it was like to kind of transition to, I'm going to call it, quote unquote, civilian life. And, you know, during our time together, and you'll hear her words in a few moments, she talked about, like, when we first started working together, she only knew how to push, that in order to get your goals, you had to struggle, you had to suffer, and that if you weren't suffering, you weren't thriving. And that's where most of us, even if you weren't a competitive athlete, that's where a lot of us come from, right? A lot of us come from that no pain, no gain. And she also will say in the conversation, she was like, you know, she came from the worlds of go big or go home. And, you know, one of the turning points, as you'll hear in the conversation, was how did that mindset shift happen for her so that she really started to realize that it was more than just having a game plan. It was really more about getting that personalized attention that really helped her turn things around and help her get to her goal. And Nikki and I, we worked together for a couple of times. We worked together before she had a baby, and we worked together after she had a baby. And it was really interesting just in her approach when she had a baby versus when she didn't have a baby. And we touch on that as well. I don't want to give away too much before you hear Nikki's own words, but I want you to think about this before you dive into the interview. You know, are you still of that philosophy that in order to hit your goals, you have to go hard? Are you of that philosophy that in order to hit your goals, that you have to struggle, you have to suffer? And if you're not struggling or suffering, it is a sign that it's not going to work. You know, if it's too easy, it's not going to work. Well, keep listening, because trust me, I think you will change your tune.
Hey, Magic Makers, it's this week's iTunes review. Amy W. Fitness says, Kim knows her stuff, keeps it real on all levels, 5 stars. Awesome podcast series on relatable topics that women deal with. Kim's advice, along with her sense of humor, is what everyone needs to find their fit girl magic. Well, thank you so much, Amy W. Fitness. That warms my heart. If you haven't yet left your review, please head over to iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcast and hit rate, and then hopefully it's a 5-star hint, and leave me a review. Thanks.
All right, Magic Makers, we are having an interesting conversation today. One, because Nikki has her daughter home sick, so who knows if the little nugget will be like, Mama, or I also have jackhammers behind me, so who knows what's going to happen during this conversation. So buckle up. I am chatting with, I've known her as Nikki Bongi, but Nikki Bongi Ivani Grillo. And I'm the person who, I meet you with your maiden name, and that's your name forever.
Yes, I know. Okay.
But I'm going to do my best to say Grillo. And she and I worked together. I think our last competition we did together was 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I'm interviewing former clients just so that people understand what it's like to work with me, what it's like to work with a coach. Cause I think there's a lot of like Instagrams type misconceptions out there about what it is like to work with a coach. So Nikki, mm-hmm. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. It's my pleasure to be here.
So Nikki, like, tell people a little bit about your background, because you have a very unique background that kind of intimidated me when we first started working together.
Okay. Well, first of all, I feel like I'm one of the least intimidating people, but.
You are. You totally are. It was just like when you read your resume and then you meet you.
Yes. Yes. So I was an elite level gymnast and actually started in the sport back when I was about 3 or 4 years old. So it's really all I knew for most of my childhood and young adult years. I was very committed to it. And as you can imagine, I've had several coaches over the course of my life. So, you know, I was committed to gymnastics from the age of 3 till I actually retired from the sport at age 23. So I had a 20-year lifespan in the sport, which is a really long time. You know, with the level of difficulty of the sport and the injuries that can come about, most gymnasts don't get to have that long of a career. So I feel really fortunate that I was able to see out the end of my career, have a really, really good experience. But it was intense. There was a lot. So I became a junior elite gymnast when I was only 9 years old. So you can imagine the level of training and commitment that was going on in my life at the time was about 6 hours a day training, six days a week. So that's really all I did. And I mean, I loved it. It's what I wanted to do. My parents didn't push me to do it. They just supported me with all my decisions with the sport. I really wanted to go to the Olympics. So that was my main focus. I pushed and worked hard, and I got pretty close. I was on the national team for about 4 or 5 years. And I got to compete for USA and go to all the training camps and wear all the swag and got to do all that cool stuff and train with some pretty famous people that you've probably heard of before. And then I competed in college. I was a Division I scholarship athlete. I chose to go to the Penn State University. I was a Nittany Lion there. And I got to be a team captain there and have a really wonderful experience with gymnastics there, which is very interesting. And I will add some of this in later. But prior to college, gymnastics, elite level gymnastics, is very strict. Serious. And it's a one-man show. It's not much of a team sport. You are in it for yourself.
Yeah.
And at that level, it's not a lot of fun. It's a lot of work. So when I went to college, I got a whole new set of coaches and a whole new perspective on gymnastics because it turned into a team sport. And they really emphasize not only they want you to excel as an athlete and a student, they also want you to have fun doing your sport. So I had to kind of relearn my sport once I got to college because I did not know how to do it for fun.
Right. And, you know, I like what you said that because it's like, I think a lot of athletes, it's, you just like have these like blinders on and it's just like, you know, eat, sleep, train, sleep, train. Yes. And, you know, then you come into like, which I think is refreshing that they're like, there should be a sprinkle of fun here. Like, it shouldn't just be like, you know, eat, sleep, train, like get to know your teammates, not because you're just sitting next to them on the beam waiting for the next person to go, like know them.
Exactly. And I feel like it really made a difference in how I think back. You know, I'm 41 now. So I, you know, that was the first half of my life and it made me a lot of who I am today, but I feel like my perspective on my experience is so different than how I could have, it could have gone the wrong way. I could have
had
awareness now in my life, towards the sport, but I just, it kind of turned it around and I saw that the sport was so much more than even what I had experienced at such a high level. There was more to it. There was more about what it could do for you as a whole person rather than just being, you know, having achievements under your belt.
Right. And I like that. And I think, you know, when we first started working together, you know, you were coming out of that sport, but you still like, I mean, it imprinted on you that like drive, discipline, do. And, you know, you've been doing it for your whole life. So you're like, I don't know how to change.
Exactly. So that's like, that's part of, you know, where you came in. So that's, that was a whole nother learning curve. So, you know, I had my elite gymnastics career, my collegiate gymnastics career, which was still very intense. And I also carried with me a lot of that intensity from my elite level years that I couldn't shake.
Yeah.
You know, I was stuck in that place of, if I'm not suffering for this achievement, I'm not working hard enough. And that was the only space I knew how to live in or train in, is that I had to push myself so that I was suffering to feel like I was worthy of the achievement. You know,
and
what I mean?
Yeah, and it's so funny because it's like that suffering and worthiness, it transmutes every sport, especially, you know, especially, and I, and, you know, I feel women feel it more, but I'm sure guys have the same level of pressure to be the best. But I also feel like women, we just like, we wear that suit of armor. Like we got to suffer. All right. Mm-hmm. Who else is suffering with me? Like, I only had a carrot today. What'd you have? And we just kind of feel like, well, someone's like, well, I had a carrot and a cucumber. You're like, I had a cucumber?
Ugh. You're not working hard enough.
Right. And so I feel like so many women can identify with that. Like, even if you weren't an elite athlete, that has like dripped down in our society that if I don't like crawl through glass or am I left bleeding from the eye, I didn't diet hard enough. And my weight loss isn't worthy because it felt easy.
Yeah. And I feel like it's transcending across our culture as a whole. So even you take anybody, people, you know, maybe someone's not an athlete, but they put that same, you know, approach into their career. You know, if they're not they're not staying up till 11, 12 o'clock still working their job, then they're not working hard enough. They're not working weekends. And it's just become, you know, glorified.
Yes.
Suffering and busy and, you know, focused or dedicated towards something.
100%. I absolutely, for those of you guys who are listening to this, like, hopefully you're like, I know that shift is hard. I will be the first person to admit, like, I'm, you know, a card carrying member of the suffering club, but when you make that shift to the other side, you're going to look at yourself and you're just like, damn, I did all of that. And you're like, for what? Like, there was no Mercedes at the end of the line. I mean, I wish there was a Mercedes at the end of the line.
Absolutely not. Nope.
So for you, you're right. So, you know, you did all this elite stuff. You spent time with the Carolis, you know, you go to college and you're like, what's next?
Yeah, for sure. So that was a scary place to be in. Not going to lie. I struggled a lot because so much of my identity and my self-worth was tied into gymnastics because I didn't really know myself without it.
Yeah.
So, you know, there were some dark days trying to figure that out. I remember my last competition and taking off my grips after my bar routine. And I walked over to this giant like garbage can in the arena and I just tossed them in. And I had this moment and I was like, there it is. Now what? Who am I without
this?
And it was a journey to get there. You know, I feel so fortunate and lucky to have stumbled upon you and Kathy Savage Fitness because I feel like you guys were a beacon of hope for me that I could utilize the best parts of me from my gymnastics career and move them into a whole nother, you know, career for myself or hobby or just something that I could take all of those good parts that I didn't want to lose because gymnastics was over and just move forward into something else that could also fill my heart.
Right. Exactly. You know, and I think for many people, like the whole thought of like fitness competitions, they, you know, most people think like, oh, you have to be an ex gymnast or you have to be an ex something. But I think what you just hit the nail on the head is like, there's a lot of us who were former athletes that you're like, what do we do now? Like, what do we do next? And, you know, or people who are gym rats who are like, okay, so I go to the gym all the time. Like, what's next? Like, what do I do? How do I push myself to that next level? How do I just, you know, take all of these skills I'm working on over and over again and apply it to something.
Exactly. And a lot of times you just need somewhere to put that energy. And I'm a firm believer in always having goals set.
Yeah.
Big, small, daily, long-term, short-term. I don't really know how to live any other way. It keeps me going.
Right.
You know, and sometimes goals are super tiny. Might be to drink a certain amount of water in a day, you know, and then other times my goals have been to win a national championship. So, you know, they vary, but at the same time, I think, you know, anybody can utilize that same approach. And whether you're a gym rat or you used to be a dancer or you played soccer there, everybody has characteristics that they can use in the world of fitness or training for, you know, a better physique or better health or something like that. Everybody has that in them.
Right. Exactly. So when you started working with myself in Kathy Savage Fitness, like what were you looking to improve or achieve?
Well, you know, if I'm being honest, I'm a go big or go home kind of gal. So it changed over the years. I'll give you that. So when I first started, it was gung ho world champion, Miss Fitness America, Miss Fitness, you know, world, whatever the highest level I could get to, that's where I was headed. But I had a lot to learn. So just cause I was a great athlete in gymnastics didn't mean I was going to be great at fitness. It doesn't just translate over.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, in particular with fitness, you know, in elite level gymnastics, you never smile. You could get kicked out of the gym for smiling.
Right.
Let alone, you know, incorporating facial expressions in a routine. I mean, that alone for me was probably one of the most difficult things to do.
Yeah.
And the other part was like learning how to focus on my physique. So I never really had to do that. I just trained for my sport, for ability. I never, you know, ate or trained to look a certain way. I ate and trained to be able to do certain things.
Right.
So to add that component in it. I really enjoyed that because I got an education on my body and nutrition and how it affects it, you know, from a standpoint of energy input and output to how it makes your body look and feel. Like I didn't have that education. I just did what I was told doing gymnastics. And you guys really opened my eyes and you taught me, because it wasn't just you telling me, hey, eat this, don't eat that, eat it this time. Like there was an education behind it. Like why eat that food?
Right.
Why eat time? Why, you know, that all that stuff was really valuable for me. And I got to tell you, you know, I went on to be a personal trainer, and a lot of it was, you know, due to you guys inspiring me, because I saw how many lives you were changing and how impactful it was on my life. Just how much I learned from you. So, you know, in the beginning, I would say I was out to win a championship.
Right.
You know, I was competing for a good 15 years with you guys. So
by
the end, by the last time we did our last show together, I had had my daughter, and it was about health.
Yeah.
I was after health. And you know what? I came in second at Miss Fitness America that year. And I had my best physique, my best showing, my best experience I had ever had. And my goal was health rather than the trophy. So I'd like to say I matured over my career with fitness, you know? So,
You know, it's funny that you say that, because I think all of us go into anything we do because we're searching for, you know, you were looking for a title, because that's all you knew. Like, you know, that's from the very youngest age. If you didn't hit a certain number on that podium, then you went home.
Right.
You're going to move on to the next level. So that's all you knew. And then I think, a lot of the women I've worked with, you know, before baby and after baby, after you have your baby, you're like, okay, I know what it was like to grow this baby. All the things I took to make sure that my little nugget came out happy and healthy. And I don't want to go back to that place.
Yes.
Plus I need to have some energy, because my kid don't know that 2 o'clock in the morning is when everyone should be sleeping.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. It's a different approach. Like post baby, it's not about you anymore.
Right.
You also don't have all the time in the world. So you got to be efficient with what time you have, and you got to pick your plan and stick to it. And, I want to say my approach was more, I wanted to be an inspiration.
Right.
At that point, I wanted to show other women that they can do it. And you don't have to suffer through it. I mean, my daughter was a year and a half old when I stepped back on stage. At least half of my prep, I was nursing.
Right.
Which is an interesting, you know, concept that you wouldn't normally tie together a woman nursing and, you know, prepping for a show, because there's this belief that if you're prepping for a show, your calories are low, you're starving, you're training twice a day, you're doing hours of cardio. And I think that's just a testament to you guys that you meet people where they're at, right? So, you know, whatever somebody's going through, and you didn't tell me, hey, you need to stop nursing so you can compete.
Right.
Like, no, like we just kept my calories where they needed to be. My nutrition was where it needed to be. And if anybody knows anything about nursing, you have to eat a lot of food.
Right. Or you're dry as a bone.
Yeah. And then you throw on top of that a workout regimen and training, a fitness routine, you know, you need a lot of fuel.
Yeah.
And I always tell people that, you know, prepping for a show or even for like your dream physique, it's not, if you do it the right way, you're actually eating more food than you've probably ever eaten in your life. You're more satisfied and you're not cranky, you know, like it doesn't have to be that way. And I think, you know, I never would have believed that 10 years ago. If you told me, Nikki, someday you're going to pop out a kid, be nursing and prep for a show at the same time, I would be like, yeah, you're crazy. That's not happening, because right. I need to be suffering and starving to do well.
Yeah. And, you know, the one thing that, you know, a lot of the moms who came back to me after getting ready for a show is that I was like, your kid comes first. Like, I want to protect your kid and your energy, because I know like your kid doesn't understand that you're tired. Like, you can't be like, you're kind of, you know, your daughter was a year old, so she kind of understood talking, but like, you couldn't to a newborn, you can't be like, mommy's tired and mommy has to go to the gym, so you're going to go to bed at 6 o'clock and you're going to wake up at 6 o'clock. Okay.
Right.
I mean, like every parent's like, how do you do that? Cause I want that
exactly.
Same thing. Oh. And it's like, I think, you know, as you, like you said, mature, you learn that one, suffering sucks. And you're just like, I just can't anymore. And I don't know. I really wish, like, having these conversations, or I wish everyone didn't have to hit that wall before they realize suffering sucks. And I'm hoping that the more I talk to people like yourself and the more I just talk to other people, they can hear like, yeah, okay, so I can have something more than a grape a day.
Yeah.
And a cup of coffee. Yes. Yep. Like, you know, depending on your goal. Right. And I mean, even now you hear from the US gymnastics, like, they're not starving their people anymore. Like, they've learned, they've matured that, like, you know what, I can't starve my athletes anymore, because they're not going to perform as well as if they are well fed.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I'm so glad that you brought that up, because it needed to change a long time ago. And, you know, those girls are at such impressionable ages. I mean, I'm so lucky to have come out of it as I did.
Yes.
Because I know a lot of girls that still struggle to this day, and they're adults now, you know, and you know, my advice to people is, if you're in that suffering phase where you, like, it makes you feel good and you need it to, like, feel like you're moving forward or you're working towards something, that it took me years to get out of it. Like, you guys like hammered it home with me. But I, you know, I would still do extra cardio. Try to do things to, like, push myself ahead more. But it, in the end, when I followed the protocol the way it should have been, it felt easy. And there was a sense of peace and ease with me into that last competition that I did. And it felt great. It was so fun because I didn't suffer along the way. The day of the show, I wasn't depleted. I was eating. I had so much energy. And I remember that now all the time in my life and with my clients that I work with now. I mean, I'm always telling them, you know, my experience of going through it through suffering and going through it with ease.
Yes.
And the route of ease, I ended up with a better physique at the end of it.
Right. Because you're not always stressed out, like, worrying about the next thing. Yes. And so, you know, we've kind of danced around it, but I'm going to ask the direct question. So, like, as a result of, you know, saying, you know, even though I push you to, like, just listen, just do the easy stuff, just do the easy route. Like, as a result, like, how do you think you've, like, that's, like, grown you as a personal trainer, but also grown you as a person when it comes to, you know, maintaining your health?
So, you know, I don't think that I would be comfortable in my skin now if I didn't go through that with you. I needed that hard lesson. I needed somebody saying to me like, no, this is right. This is right for you. You're going to get where you need to go. You just have to trust the process. Trust me, trust me, trust me.
Right.
You know, nowadays, like I can easily maintain a really happy physique without going to the gym 6 days a week. I have, you know, a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old who require a lot of my energy. I own several businesses with my brother. So like, I'm a busy lady.
Mm-hmm.
And I once thought that if I couldn't exercise every day,
yeah,
diet, I would never be happy with my body.
Mm-hmm.
So I've learned to have grace with myself. I've learned that, you know, day to day, it fluctuates. My schedule fluctuates, the amount of effort I can put in towards my physique or my nutrition fluctuates, but I have such a good foundation now. And the bar is not through the ceiling.
Right.
The bar is here's my happy. And I know how to live in that happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't need to be stage ready every day. And at one point in my life, I'm telling you that I needed to be lean and mean to feel good about myself.
Yes. Yeah. You're not alone.
You know, I feel good if I have energy now. I feel good if I have a good night's sleep. I feel good if I can move my body most days of the week. You know, those are all little wins, and I've learned to appreciate those. And those are what keep me going, moving forward. You know, that's a win for me. If I can move my body and get some healthy food in me and have energy for my kids and whatever activities I want to do, then that's great. And that's what I'm after.
Yeah.
It's a peaceful way to live for sure.
I love the peaceful, like, and just energy, right? Like energy, like when you're just walking around, like just like a zombie, that just sucks.
It does suck. It is. I've been there, you know, and it's those days where people are like, wow, you look tired today, you know, like,
right.
And then you're like, oh, it's written all over my face. And I mean, I'm sucking today, you know,
right.
Those are the days I despise because I know it doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. 100%. So what would you say to someone who is considering working with me as a coach?
I would say, I would say if you're thinking about it, then there's a reason for that.
Yeah.
You know, you're being called to that. It's being brought into your universe for a reason. I would say don't hesitate and jump because you don't have anything to lose. Right? You've got nothing to lose by trying. And the other thing I would say is, you know, you're no BS. So, you know, I say that you got me out of my suffering and made me kind of do things in an easier route than I was expected, but you're by no means a pushover of a coach. You're not going to just tell me what I want to hear. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, expect tough love, I would say, but in the best way possible, because every time I've worked with you, I can't even tell you how many things I've learned and how much you've opened my eyes to different possibilities for myself that I didn't even see, you know? So I think just having an open mind, knowing that you're going to get customized, like somebody who really cares about where you're at and where you want to go, because that's hard to find, especially nowadays. You can go online and get a program anywhere, but it's probably the same program as the last person that signed up and the person before that. You know, you need something that is customized and really thought about when it comes to what your needs are. And I would say you're the best person for that.
Ah, thank you. Yeah. It's hard. Like the tough love part is hard. Cause then I think because I've had like coaches like you had that, like, they aren't going to be like, you know, rubbing your back and like, that's okay. They're going to be like, yeah, you stumbled. And next time we do it, how are we going to fix that?
Yep.
That's the only way you know, it's been imprinted in me. Like, that's how my coaches were always to me. And I was like, okay. Like, and then
that's how you coach.
That's how you coach. But then I've also seen those coaches who are like, everything's okay. And I'm like, but did you learn anything? Like, the only way to get better is to learn something from the experience, not be like, you stubbed your toe. It's okay. Like, no, you stubbed your toe. How are we going to fix it?
Right. Right. Yeah. I think a blend of the two worlds is perfect. You know,
and I've simmered down from my youth with maturity, but I still feel like I only learn if you ask me a question, like, okay, yes, what are we going to do different?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And, you know, you might not be, you know, scraping the ice off your ass at the time I ask you that question, but yeah, I'll wait a good 12 hours and be like, so what are we going to do different?
Absolutely. But like, that comes down to that education piece that I was talking about, that, right, you know, it's not just following a plan on a piece of paper. There's a learning curve to anytime you try a new, you know, a new venture or take on a big goal or something that's important to you. And, you know, that's, you're there to guide.
Yeah.
Right. So,
yeah.
You know, if you're going to hire a coach, whether it's Kim or anybody else, or, you know, you're not in the driver's seat anymore.
Right.
You know exactly. What I mean? Like you're the expert. Like I'm coming to you because you're the expert, not because right. I'm the expert. I'm coming to you because I want you to tell me what to do. So, you know, having that open mind and that approach is important, I think.
Yeah.
And just being open to like maybe trying things you haven't tried before.
Yeah. Just, you know, having the courage to do things differently and,
absolutely.
You know, and you know, ask questions. Like I love people who ask me questions because like sometimes you're like, you never heard of a study that I just read, or you never thought of like that approach to whatever it is that we're doing. I'm like,
yeah.
That's how I learned, you know, like my very first coach, mm-hmm. like I would do it. And then as I'm doing it, I'm like, okay, so this is what I'm experiencing. Like, yeah, that's what you should be experiencing. So it was like a give and a take. It was like a back and forth conversation.
Yes, for sure. And it should be because you're a team, right?
Yeah.
Like, I always say that like a client and a coach or an athlete and a coach, you're a team together. So it shouldn't be a one-way street. You should be able to ask questions and learn along the way. I think, you know, as an athlete, you're the one having the physical experiences from it, but the plan and the effort towards getting to that goal, it's team.
Yeah. 100%. You like, that's exactly what it is. It's a team approach. And like, as a, you know, our experience is virtual, you know, mm-hmm. we saw each other a handful of times a year. And so in order for me to have a experience with you, you have to ask questions. Cause if we mm-hmm. were in person, I would be like, okay, you would do something like, oh, how Nikki, how does that feel? Nikki, this, and you would talk.
Yes.
Where
yes.
a lot of people, I think coaching is this, like, you know, do these five things and you're going to be successful. And it's like, mm-hmm. I'm going to give you these five things, but I'm going to be like, how did it work out?
Right. We're going to see how it went. And everybody's different, right? So like
right.
what works for me might not work for the next person. A lot of it's trial and error and just, you know what you know, but like, let's try it. Let's try this. Oh, you didn't like how that felt? Let's try something else. You know, there's always adjustments being made. So
always,
it's not a cookie cutter plan.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. So mm-hmm. Nikki, thank you so much for taking this time with me. And I so appreciate you. I so appreciate the relationship that we have built like over the years and that we mm-hmm. still can, you know, reach out and connect with each other.
Yeah. Well, thank you for having me on. I'll tell you that I'm forever grateful to you because you made such a big impact on my life. You know, not only during my years of competing, but I've taken what you've taught me and I still carry it with me. And, you know, I wouldn't raise my kids the way I do. You know, it's changed my approach with them, with food and nutrition and exercise. I mean, there's really not a day that goes by that I don't use some part of what I learned from working with you. So I thank you. I am very grateful to have you in my life.
Especially raising a little lady in this day and age.
Yes, for sure. Yep. So thank you for everything.
Thank you so much. That means, that does mean a lot to me. So thanks so much for taking the time. And magic makers, like, listen up, right? You don't have to struggle. You don't have to suffer. It can feel easy. And if it feels easy, it's not because you're doing it wrong.
Exactly. Yes. Huge point. Huge point. Doesn't mean you're doing it wrong.
All right, magic makers, what did you think of the conversation with Nikki? Some pretty powerful takeaways. I'm going to share with you some of the things that I have taken away, and I'd love to hear what you've taken away. So do me a favor and screenshot this and tag me in a social media post. Share it with a friend who needs to hear this same advice. One of the best things that she said to me was that now, when we were working together, after she had her baby, I helped her come up with some realistic expectations because I met her where she was at. You know, I wasn't about, well, you have a baby now, so this is what you have to do, right? So even if you don't have a baby, if you're someone who has, say, a very busy life, maybe you're someone who's caring for an aging parent, I'm going to understand your life so that I'm like, okay, I know you want to do, you know, 5 days a week at the gym, you want to be there for 2 hours, but let's just look at what's realistic for you so that we can make a plan for it in your life so that it is sustainable. You know, there's nothing worse than setting up a plan and then life come at it and you just get so mad at yourself because you can't set up yourself for success. That's what I really work with my clients to do. I think that's where I shine, is that it's like I try to make sure you're not biting off too much at the very beginning, because the very beginning, that's where the magic happens. When we can create a nice foundation of habits, set a nice foundation of routine, you are going to be unstoppable. The other thing Nikki talked about is how she learned grace. You know, being able to give herself grace when, you know, she has a bad day, when she doesn't have the energy to work out. She's got a 4 and a 6-year-old that she's chasing around. And I don't know about you, if you have kids, you're running around trying to chase them. You're like, dang it, where is the battery? Where do I turn off these little crazy kids? I just need 5 minutes to myself. She also talked about, you know, that she came to ease with her physique, that it's not about maintaining this like tight, hard physique. It's working with her to find that middle ground, finding that middle ground so that she can be a role model for her daughter, so that she's able to just say that it's more than that, your physique. It is more about being healthy and being at a healthy weight, being at a healthy body composition versus, you know, being lean and mean all the darn time. You know, working with me, she was like, we talked about, you know, I helped her see new possibilities, that it's possible to just, you know, not be pushing and grinding and striving, that you can still hit your goals and it still feel effortless, that it's possible for you to just work at a realistic pace, create great routines that give you that consistency. The challenge here is that you need to have the courage to change, have the courage to think out of the box and make different choices, right? It's very easy for us to fall into that same pattern that, you know, we've done this forever. This is how we know how to lose weight. This is how we know how to hit our goals. But we always seem to find our way burning ourselves out going that way. So I ask you, can you go a different route? Can you open your eyes to say, okay, I can make different choices. I can have a different process. I can have the courage so that I finally have the consistency, so that I finally get my own damn fit girl magic and keep these, get the goals, and not only keep them, right? Everyone wants to get the goal, but I know you want to keep them more than you want to get them. So let me know how this lands with you. Is that, do you want to get your own fit girl magic? Do you want to have it be different? Talk to me. Let's chat.
Thank you for listening to the Fit Girl Magic podcast. If you've made it this far, yay. I'm thinking you enjoyed the show. Let's continue the conversation on Instagram. You can find me at Kim Jefferson Coach. In order for me to keep sharing this message, do me a favor and leave me a 5-star review on iTunes. While you're there, don't forget to subscribe so that you won't miss an episode. New episodes are available every Wednesday. The Fit Girl Magic podcast is intended to provide you with tips, tools, and strategies that will help you make better decisions about your health. I really appreciate your feedback and your support. Thank you so much.